We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And yeah, I know, you're licking your chops. All right, listen, before we get to the bet that I lost. So I turn on my phone this morning. I wake up after a long, long day yesterday. A doubleheader in which I started in Bloomington. I motored my ass off with my daughter and we drove and we made the Purdue game. I finished the game. I have to do a show. I have to write a story. And I wake up in the morning to you texting me. Tell everybody what you were texting me. Right, when you were texting me.
Well, I called you at 2. I wanted to see where you were at. I was, you know, you said, let's grab a drink. All right. You were nowhere to be found. You claim you were writing. At 2 a.m. you were writing?
No, I was asleep by 2. I was asleep by 2. Right. But yeah. I think I finished it about 1:30. And I turned off my phone. Because I didn't want knuckleheads like you waking me up. And I knew your past transgressions when you're in the city of Indianapolis and what you can do. I know your reputation in the state of Indiana is not good when it comes to you and alcohol.
What do you mean? It's a great reputation. We went to Heron Izzy's and had a great meal and had a couple St. Elmo's Coca-Colas. They're good.
How you feeling today?
I'm good. I got a big week this week, so I had to do some work, but yesterday was a pretty sweet day of college basketball. But before we get to that,
yeah,
you owe me.
I do. And I've had some
and
people.
We need to make some ground rules. Like, so there's some, so my main thing for this is that you have to wear my jersey for the whole day.
Okay, done.
That's hilarious.
I agreed to that.
Which one are you going to get?
So I like somebody sent me a cup. Well, now there's a $100 one. I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell I'm spending $100 on a Robbie Hummel jersey. No chance.
Wow, I was gonna buy some $80 Arizona shorts. I was ready for that. I thought to myself, the throwback shorts are awesome. I'll just buy those if I have to do this.
I like the black jersey. I like the black Purdue jersey. I think I'm gonna go with the black Purdue jersey. There's one for $26 that I feel like is probably a little bit hefty, but I'm willing to pay as long as the shipping isn't too much.
I want you to do.
Yeah.
You are going to wear the jersey all day to wherever you go.
Yep.
No t-shirt underneath. Like you're playing.
What do you mean? No t-shirt. No, this is
like no t-shirt. You're wearing it like you are a player. Like it's just cut off sleeves. You're in Charleston. It's warm down there. Cut off sleeves, and I want you to get some. You can get whatever black shorts you want. Okay. They gotta be like Larry Bird short,
like short shorts.
Larry Bird short shorts, and no sleeves underneath. That's what you gotta wear the whole day.
I think I can go with the no sleeves. Listen, here I'm gonna give you your options here. All right, I'm gonna give you your two options.
I can't have it all.
No, you can't have it all. Here are your options, though. The short shorts are not gonna happen. All right, I'm not wearing ball huggers. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But so awesome. What I am going to do, I'm going to give you two options. Yeah. I'm going either I wear them in Charleston, and that's fine, or I can wear them at the Final Four, the shirt. Not all day, because I can't wear it all day, because obviously I'm not going out at night with it to, like, you know, the pumps party.
That would be awesome. All right, at the Final Four, would you wear it with no undershirt, though?
Jesus Christ. This is so
bad. You lost. You made the bet, dude. You made this bet.
But these weren't the stipulations weren't in there.
Well, Greg Gary kind of gave me some inspiration when he texted me about this.
No undershirt.
So, all right. I'll spare you the Final Four. You do this in Charleston, but you got to wear it like you're a player.
No undershirt.
Shirt underneath. No undershirt all day.
All right.
The only problem is I don't know how to prove this. I'm not going to be there. You're gonna have to check my wife.
She'll take video.
You have to check in hourly to prove that you're doing this.
Hourly. So. We can do it. Maybe I'll even do it on a night when I attend a Charleston game. How about that for you?
Okay. There you go. You have to wear my jersey. No undershirt.
No, I can't do no undershirt at a Charleston game. I can put something on underneath it for the Charleston game. For the game,
you can go. How about you could cut off the sleeves of a t-shirt? The guns have to show. The guns have to be out.
Nobody needs to see this. I mean, here's the only thing I'll say is, like, if I could do the Final Four, I might just start lifting like crazy over the next few months. I'm going to be so jacked.
You'd be training for this.
I'm going to hire somebody.
I'll spare you the Final Four, but you got to, all right. During the day, it's sleeveless.
Okay.
For the game, you should still just wear like a cutoff t-shirt, but you can wear a t-shirt to the game.
All right. I'm in for that. All right. So that's the deal.
So it's got to be a muscle t-shirt that really grips the biceps strong.
That's fine.
Gotta be one of it can't be some loose.
I'm good with that. All
Larry
I know is
it can't be Larry Johnson grandmama t-shirt is what I'm saying.
Just know there's going to be revenge next year when Arizona plays Purdue in Vegas, because
we can run it back.
No, we're going to run it back, but we're going to run it back that night in Vegas.
Oh, I hope I'm there. I mean, that'd be
if
great.
You're there, what Peacock's going to fire you after 1 year?
They draft the games every year, moron. Not like Peacock has this game in perpetuity. They'll redraft next year. And I'm guessing Arizona will probably be a pretty high draft pick.
All right. Well, listen. All right, let's get to the actual matchup now that we've got the ground rules set for me wearing. I got to get the damn jersey, first of all. I got to make sure that nobody else bought. You know, I hear these are in high demand. Somebody else might have bought the black one for $26.
I thought about sending you. I have a jersey that the Nuggets gave me later after I had been released. When I first got signed, Sparky, the equipment guy, spelled my last name wrong.
Oh, please.
So I have a jersey that's like HUMMLE.
Dude, I'll pay you $100 for that jersey, period.
I don't know. It's a memento of mine.
I might pay you $500 for that jersey.
Well, then we could talk at $500, maybe. But all right, let's talk about some road games.
All right, let's talk about Purdue, Arizona first. And again, listen, we went through it for a minute last night after the game, but ultimately, I wrote a column, and I truly believe this, Rob. I believe Braden Smith is the difference in Purdue's team from a year ago to now because of his confidence, because he's just, you know, older, more confident, not thinking about everything now, not questioning his decision-making. Now, other guys are better around him too. Like obviously Zach Edey's better than he was a year ago. Lance Jones gives him an element they didn't have, but to me, it all starts with Braden Smith in the fact that I believe in this team as a chance to win the whole thing now, where again, last year, and Gottlieb was the first one to say this actually earlier last year, he did say, he was like, I love Braden Smith, but I don't know if he's ready to be that dude as a freshman.
Yeah, you could probably, and he certainly made the case that he was a year away. I think the biggest difference in Braden Smith is his mentality. I think that he is looking to score, and I Matt Painter said something interesting to me. It was one of the shoot I've done five consecutive Purdue games, so I don't remember what shoot around it was at, but one of the shoot arounds, he made the comment that I guess Braden Smith's dad works him out. I think his dad's a coach, and that they had talked after last season about how everything they do needs to be finishing with Braden looking to come off ball screens and make a play for himself, and you could tell. And you could tell that he has really worked at that. And it's not just been like a skill development thing. It's been his mindset is that, man, if I'm coming off this and Umar Ballo is going to be in this drop, man, I am going to murder this. Yep. And he played like that. I mean, he was hunting shots, making big time plays, and he still can pass, but man, he can really score too. You could, I mean, I think he has to be in the conversation of being an All-American.
Yes.
I think he has to be.
I said that
last couple games, and he's been big time. So Edie gets all the accolades, and rightfully so, because he is a monster in there. He is so tough, and he makes Umar Ballo look small. Ballo is an enormous human being too, but he's 4 inches taller than him. And Fletcher Loyer was major league, after really struggling up in Toronto. I think he was 0-4, 0-5, had 4 points. But I think the thing with him has got to be, you know, your lows can't be so low. His highs are high. 27 against Tennessee. You know, he had a big time game. 27 against Arizona. But man, he's got too many games where it's like 3 points, 0-4. But you know, he does not back down. Like he talks noise to defenders. He's not afraid, and he stepped up and just, man, Arizona had some uncharacteristic breakdowns, I thought. The trapping of the post from the strong side was really poor in rotation. They gave him, like, a couple threes where he's just – and they worked on it at shoot-around.
Wide open.
Just didn't – you know, their perimeter players were not ready to rotate, and they just gave up open threes. Their turnovers – and I really was surprised at the way Purdue got him on the glass in the first half. Just because Arizona had been the best rebounding team in college basketball up to this point. Now, they hadn't seen anybody like Purdue, but I was surprised by that. I thought that would be one of the differences in the game, and it certainly was.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, We do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
The other difference was the point guard matchup and Kai Boswell, who I think is terrific.
Yeah.
Frankly, we talked about how much bigger, how much stronger, how much more athletic, physical, all those guards were going to be for Arizona, because they are. I mean, you look at them and you're like, man, they're men. Boswell, Caleb Love, they come off the bench with Jaden Bradley.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like Fletcher Loyer, who looks like he's, what, 165 pounds, and he looks like he's 14 years old?
Yep.
You know, he just made him pay.
He gets by people too. He's crafty, and I think he's got a deceptive first step where he just gets by dudes and they don't think he can do it. But yeah, it wasn't like he just banged eight threes. I mean, he was getting to the rim, the floaters. Yep. And I say this, I really like Arizona's team too. I give Caleb Love so much credit because so many guys have been told, hey, you got to change. You got to play the right way. And it goes in this year and it goes right out the other. Yeah. He has done it.
Yes.
Every game I've watched a bunch of Arizona's games, whether it's, you know, Duke, Colgate, Wisconsin, Michigan State. And I think he's making the right play more often than not. He's rebounding at the highest level he ever has. Yep. Assist to turnover ratio is the best it's ever been. He's still streaky as a shooter, but man, when he gets it going, like he did, 29, he can hoop. He was fantastic. I love Keyshawn Johnson.
He's
think
awesome,
that,
isn't he?
How was he the 84th ranked transfer?
Ask Borzella.
I mean, what are you doing? Do you rank these guys?
No, I did top like 10 this year. I was smart enough.
Why was he not in your top 10? Why was he not in your top 10?
I don't think he was.
No, he definitely was not.
No, because you know what? He didn't put up big offensive numbers, Rob. Like most people consider him a defender.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah. He was
awesome. His body, though, think about getting that body in the portal. I mean, he is like 6'9", put together, physical. Yeah. The windmill he had.
Oh.
I'm so envious.
And that play, so too, in a big-time spot where you're like, man, he just did that then?
Takes some real balls to do that. I really like Pelle Larsen.
He wasn't great.
He wasn't. I like his game.
He had a bad turnover late, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then I thought Boswell certainly was not at his best. Why do you think Arizona went away from the 2-3?
Purdue hit a three. I think they just played it to try to.
No, they never play it.
I meant last night.
That was a Hail Mary. Like, we can't guard Purdue. Right. My question to you is why
wouldn't you kept it going?
Yes. I mean, Purdue made a three. They overloaded it. And Purdue missed a couple shots with Edie that probably more often than not he makes.
Yeah.
But I thought Purdue finally got an overload with the ball screen. They swung it to Lance Jones. He makes a three.
Huge.
But then after that, they went man-to-man, and then it was like five straight points. And I just thought the zone and the pressure of the zone really bothered Purdue.
It did. Well, they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for it.
And I think that's a great adjustment. Bill Self is the guy that stands out as someone that will just throw something out there, and it really works.
You know who's the master at it? You know who's the master at that? Who's Tim that? Floyd.
Really?
Floyd would all sorts of trick defenses and just screw people up. Mm-hmm. Because, again, listen, if you're Purdue, how much are you preparing? You're not.
No, I mean, you're not. And that's why when that happens, you're just trying to flash guys.
Is that for you, Rob? When you played, how often would teams, again, with you guys – they're not zoning you a whole hell of a lot.
No, I mean, we could shoot. And honestly, I love playing into the zone because it was very easy for me to just flash in and out of the high post and go from kind of inside to out and step out. And we'd overload zones. I thought we always handled that well. But, it certainly is. It can be a shock to the system. I mean, I played in an NCAA tournament game. Kansas triangle and two'd us. If you had told me when I was 16 years old that Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks are going to triangle into me because I have 22 points at halftime, I'd say, yeah, right. They're just going to say, we've just got to guard this dude better. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, it does surprise you. You're in a rhythm scoring the ball, and Purdue clearly was, and it just gives you a different look. It changes the tempo of the game. It was a really smart and I think, didn't he? He tried to press, too.
He did.
They pressed. That didn't work. Then he went to the 2-3. So he was just trying to press buttons to figure out what he could.
Why not? No, if you can't stop a team,
no, I agree. Why not do
something different and see if it works? Now, again, players have to be able to handle that.
Well, like, and Arizona's personnel has length and athleticism, so that certainly helps. But if you're getting scored on at will and man to man, I don't see why you couldn't say, you know what, we don't really practice this, but we kind of know what we're doing. Go out there and if we can always go back to man to man,
exactly.
You know, it's not like we can't go back to it. So you know who didn't impact the game that I thought might, just because I really like his energy and his effort, is KJ Lewis.
Yeah, he was not
he just wasn't really a factor in the game, but he has been a factor for Arizona this year.
I want to pick up where you left off with Caleb Love, because again, I agree with you 100% on that, and the accountability factor too with him is different at Arizona, right, on both ends of the court. You know, even there was one play where he didn't switch, I think, and I can't remember who made an open three.
Oh, it was him and Boswell were like having a discussion. Yes. Somebody made an open three.
He came right out and he was like, "That's on me." Mm-hmm. And like, I just don't remember seeing that often at Carolina. Like, yeah. I think he's much more accountable. And then on the offensive end, and I texted you at one point, I was like, "All right, Carolina Caleb." Because he's keeping them in the
game at this point.
Totally.
What do you mean?
But Carolina Caleb doesn't always mean a bad thing. Well, that just good, means he's getting going. That means, you know what, he's feeling it, and he was. He was feeling it. There was a stretch there early where he had like three buckets, and then he took one that was ill-advised, and then he might have had a turnover. But like, you're right. Like, they needed him.
No, they needed him to score. His floater is big time too. His floater, that's a big time shot.
Yeah. Especially against a guy like Edie. For sure. Like, he was perfect because he can score pretty much at all three levels. He's capable of doing that. And again, he's just playing more under control now. But Arizona does need him. I mean, like, he is kind of perfect for what they need, because they don't necessarily have a guy like that, right? Pelle Larsen is just a great piece who does everything well.
Well,
right?
Pelle Larsen to me is just like low volume, super high efficiency, doesn't turn it over, can guard three or four positions. He's a great role player for that team.
Moves the ball. Really he's good. Just a great
I mean,
piece.
Again, he's 5 of 7 from the field. Right. He's top 7 or 8 in terms of individual players in offensive rating, which just measures your efficiency. He doesn't miss.
Like every
he's shooting
game,
60% from the field on the year.
Right. It's crazy. Crazy. All right, let's move to Indiana, Kansas a little bit. And I was there. I don't know how much you saw of it.
I watched this morning.
You did? Okay, good. I mean, Indiana played great for 35 minutes. Really, seriously, 35 minutes. They had them. And the whole time, Rob, I'm not going to lie, I was like, Kansas is going to win this game. I mean, they're going to win this game. I just feel like
Bill Self has won more games where they trail and then they just punch in the mouth with about 3 to go. And the game ends and you're looking around, you're like, what the hell happened?
Right. I think that's the way Mike Woodson felt. I think that's the way he had to have felt, because McKenzie Mbako played awesome the first half. The best.
How about getting to the rim? Get into the basket a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, that was. And then he made some shots in the perimeter.
And he guarded.
He likes those pin downs too.
He guarded Rob.
He did.
The biggest thing for me with him. Like, he'll stay on the court if he can guard and not be a liability. And it's hard, because it's hard to ask him to guard threes.
You know what his plus minus was?
No.
Plus 12.
Yeah, he was good.
And everybody else, like -7, -4, -4, -1, -16, 3, -3. He was plus 12.
Well, listen, you know, Khalil Ware, that was his first off game. That was his first game that he struggled. He struggled.
UConn, he struggled against UConn.
Oh, he did. That's true.
He has struggled. I will say this. I think he's played really hard. I think he's been really good for Indiana. But I do think that when he runs into physical bigs that match his size, it's a problem.
Of course.
And UConn and Kansas can match his size.
No, that's what you always thought with Khalil Ware, right? Like against the Armies, against the Florida Gulf Coast, against those teams, he's been dominant. And it looked good because his effort was there. Here's what I'll say with Khalil Ware. Still, the problem, part of the problem is still the guard play. Just isn't good enough to take the pressure off.
I mean, Gabe Cupps played 37 minutes, and I think he's a good player. I heard what Bill Self said, where, you know, if Xavier Johnson's back and he's coming off the bench, That's fine, but you're asking him to do something that he is not ready to do as a freshman. And he's going to give great effort, yes. And he's going to guard his ass off, yep. And he'll do everything Mike Woodson asked him to do, but he's just not ready to produce. Now, I will say, I was really happy to see Trey Galloway play well.
He was great.
So I'm sure that this season has been hard for him.
Yeah.
And I've been there as a player where you were on a team and some of the better guys leave, and you're kind of looking around and you're like, you know, last year – yeah. These shots were coming a little easier, yeah. And now I've moved up on the scouting report, and I don't have the players maybe around me that were making things easy, like a Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, he shot, what, like 50-plus from three last year?
They were all uncontested, everyone.
But he was getting – I mean,
right.
Yeah, Trace was so good at kicking those, yes. those balls out of the post that he got great looks. And I thought for him, getting those couple in transition early was big time for him.
Yeah.
Whenever Indiana can do that, they've got to run. They've got to use their athleticism, their length, and let their defense help their half-court offense, yeah. Which we saw in the second half. And really, the second half, Renew and Ware did not play great, especially on the offensive end. But anytime they can run, they need to run. They need to get out and get going.
Well, part of it too, Rob, is when they were attacking, there's no rim protection for Kansas. Hmm. Like, that's not what Hunter is. So they just attacked early. Yep. And again, took it to the basket. They were able to get there. And on the flip side, I'm sitting there watching. I'm watching DeJuan Harrison. I'm like, how are you not going after Gabe Cupps early?
Yeah, especially because DeJuan Harris can kind of crank the dial on the pressure. Like, he can take your rock. And so can McCullough. I thought there was one or two times where maybe – like, they ran and jumped him. Yeah, I think they ran enough. And jumped him late. But not that was enough. Only one time, and maybe one or two other times they heated him up. I'm a little bit disappointed in the fact that I thought maybe CJ Gunn could be more of a factor offensively, just because he was this big time scorer out of Lawrence North, and man, he shot the ball so poorly in his time at Indiana, and he's just never been able to get going.
The end of the game, it was like everything that Kansas hadn't done, they did, right? Like it was literally DeJuan Harris. Just decides, you know what, I'm going to go to the basket and hit this runner off the high off the glass.
Tough shot.
Hunter just, I mean, they feed him the ball, and Hunter
made middle of the post, like they were big time.
McCullough, who again, I love Kevin McCullough to death. One of my favorite kids and players, but he shot in the low 30s his whole career from three. He hits a huge three. He hits a couple of huge free throws. I'm honestly real. No, like I mean this, Rob, because when a kid works as hard as he works, and another one I saw today, a Texas Tech alum as well, Terrence Shannon, we'll get to that. Those two kids were non-shooters.
Yeah. Right.
And they both become good shooters. Why? Because they get in the damn gym. They work hard.
Do you know when I knew that McCullough was going to be a better shooter this year?
Is your boy a fan?
What's that?
Say that again.
I said, do you know when I knew that McCullough was going to be a better shooter this year? By the law of Goodman. It's like Galileo's law type thing. By the law of Goodman, I saw him at Illinois, and some of their assistants were talking about how he altered his release, and I saw it. I'm like, wow, he's getting more arc on it. It's going in. He made a couple, and I told you this, and you go, he can't shoot. And right then, it's like lightning struck me, and I was like, he's going to shoot the ball way better this year. And that's what I knew.
Yeah, well, again, we're still a third of the way through. I hope I'm wrong because I love McCullough. I do. Like, but, you know, again, what's he shoot, 37 now? He was 37. Yeah, I mean,
but that's good enough.
Oh, I mean, totally.
That's
if he shoots 37 the rest of the way, I might change my tune on Kansas.
Yeah, because I will say, though, with Kansas, their bench is not great. Jamar McDowell did make a couple plays that were –
You don't think so?
No, well, I mean, obviously,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I just think the shoot. I mean, Nick Timberlake has been cannot make a shot right now.
His confidence is things. Shot. It's not that he can't make a shot, Rob. His confidence, he's got none.
No, agree. They need Furphy. I thought on Marco Jackson, he made some big plays to start the second half, but they're going to need a little bit more if they're going to reach their full ceiling.
Yeah, I just don't know where they're getting it from because like Parker Brown was overmatched. Again, Furphy's 172 pounds. You know, he's not ready physically to be able to impact right now. Marco's not a shooter. McDowell actually made a big time shot.
He made a three. Yeah. He made a couple plays that
We're good.
No, he's come along. He's come along. The other guys need to come along soon. Like, you can't.
McDowell was a late bloomer, right? He was like a kid that was not even in the top 250, and then all of a sudden was, you know, getting offered.
I just don't understand. I mean, I guess in the world of the portal, you know, you don't know. They lost Arterio Morris, obviously, to the off the court issues. But even with Arterio, they're thin. So and they don't have shooting. And I just, again, my take is you can never have enough shooters right now, and you can never have enough point guards.
No, that's true. And
I just don't understand how they're that thin. And Indiana, same thing. Like, they're banks.
Well, did you hear anything about Xavier Johnson?
Yeah, I think he'll be back soon.
That's good.
I think he'll be back soon. Foot injury. I thought he was already going to be back, and it's kind of lingered, I guess.
This is his other foot from what was.
Yeah.
From what
is he the answer, though, Rob? Like, ultimately, here's my take on Indiana. Like, he's obviously their best perimeter shooter. And the crazy part is,
but he's low volume.
Right.
I mean, but he's by percentage,
But, like, is he the answer to where they could be, if they get a healthy Xavier Johnson, do you feel like they're an NCAA tournament team, or do you feel like the jury's still out on that?
I would still think the jury's out.
Yeah.
I just, you lose to Auburn by 30, and I know he didn't play in that game. New York was pretty disappointing. Had to pull away late from Louisville. You just said this. I just don't know how they can make enough threes. I mean, they don't shoot a lot. They shot 16. There's teams that are doubling that up. You know, there's teams that are shooting 30 and 31 and 32. You're just from a mathematical standpoint, you are so far behind the eight ball. I just think that teams are going to dare them to shoot and just load up on their bigs and load up on the drive. I don't know if he solves that problem to get him there, but they do need him. I mean, he is their best guard. There's no doubt in my mind that he is.
It's all about roster construction for me at Indiana. And, like, again, point guard play, you know, like,
you know, but they thought that they had their point guard, Xavier Johnson. You know, they felt good about that.
But Rob, they didn't even know he was going to be eligible until the summer. Remember, he had to get the
year. But didn't they feel like they had a pretty good chance?
How do you ever know with the NCAA? I mean, come on.
That's true.
I would have had a third point guard in case Xavier Johnson didn't get clear. Like, again, it's just some of these programs that are really good. And I know that it's hard to get those bench guys that are going to be good enough because they're thinking, like, why am I coming if I'm not going to play? Yeah.
I guess think about, too, who Indiana took in the portal. Like, you get Ware. You get Peyton Sparks, who did not play.
And Walker.
And you bring in Anthony Walker.
Right.
You bring in all these front court players.
Exactly.
And
get a guard. Get a combo guard.
No, I agree with you.
Get a combo guard who can
maybe they thought CJ Gunn could be a guy that takes a step and he just hasn't. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. You got Caleb Banks. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to have as many top-tier candidates as possible to interview. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've used LinkedIn Jobs multiple times before, thankfully not to hire Hummel, but I've done it to hire plenty of other people, and it's been unbelievable. Effective, quick. Everything has been awesome about it. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. Thankfully, with LinkedIn, the process is intuitive, quick, and easy. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you all in on Kansas, or are you still like?
I think they're good, but I don't put them in that same tier. They very well could be the number one team in the country tomorrow when it comes out on Monday, just because
they won't be. Purdue will be number one.
I think it should be Purdue after beating Arizona. But no, I just think the lack of shooting and the lack of depth is a real concern. Yeah. Look at Arizona, look at Purdue, look at Connecticut.
Agreed.
Those teams, agreed, like they have 8, 9, 10 players where you like.
And they, all right, so that's my next question for you. We're gonna rank these in order of who we like right now. Who are the teams that can legitimately win 6 straight games and win a national title? And I want your top. I don't know if I can come up with more than 5 of them right now.
No, I think the number is 4, honestly. I'm not even sure in order, Houston.
In order right now. Give me your number one team right now that you feel good about that can win the whole thing.
I think it's Purdue.
Look at
who they've beat.
I love it.
Look at who they beat.
Look at who they lost to. Fairleigh Dickinson last year.
That's last year, dude. I really believe that this is a different – there's a different feel to this because of their guard play. Okay. You beat Gonzaga. You beat Tennessee. You beat Marquette. You beat Alabama. You beat Arizona.
Is that a Pirates hat or a Purdue hat you're wearing?
It's a Puma hat.
Oh, it's a Puma hat.
Pirates, Puma, Purdue. All right.
Same
Puma
shit.
Golf.
Shocking.
Do you disagree with me?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm just giving you
shit. You were just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'm just giving you shit. I'm with you, too. Although I will say this, like if that game had been played in Phoenix yesterday,
I mean, it was a great environment.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith, those guys absolutely got juiced by the environment? I mean, that was 90% almost Purdue fans.
Yeah, but I mean, but I feel like really good teams when they go on the road feed off that type of environment too.
Yeah. Are they the better? What I'm asking you is they play 10 times in a neutral court. Who wins? You think they split?
Yeah, I think it'd be like 6-4 or 5-5.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's a toss-up. Purdue, Arizona is an absolute toss-up to me. You know, again, if Fletcher Lawyer doesn't make all those shots, right, Arizona probably wins that game. All right, so are you with Purdue and Arizona as 1-2 right now?
Yeah, I feel good about that.
All right, I have UConn at 3. I'm going UConn ahead of Kansas.
Yep. Are you with that? Yeah, I would go UConn at 3.
Who do you have at 4?
I just haven't seen – I mean, Houston, they're always so good. They're always so well coached. Their wins are solid. I mean, Utah, Dayton, Xavier, A&M. But those aren't the same level to me as, like, you look at Purdue or you look at
– No, not even close.
Their wins. No.
It's like they did a non-conference schedule of the AAC, you know, or something like that. You know,
Kansas best. I mean, Kansas beat Connecticut at home. They've beaten Tennessee on neutral. I'd go Kansas, then I'd go Houston.
Yeah, I would say, to me, I would probably go, honestly, maybe this is crazy, I think I'm going to go Marquette at 4.
I just worry about Marquette with big physical teams.
Sure. I'm with you.
Iguodaro gets in foul trouble, and it's like,
yep.
But their guards can go.
How many of those are there, though? How many of those that he can't handle?
I mean, you'd look at Kansas with Hunter, Purdue with Edie, Connecticut with Klingon, Arizona with Balo. So all the teams we're just talking.
I think he can handle Balo.
I'm just talking about his sheer size. I mean, Iguodaro's what, 6'10"?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just not thick.
Yeah.
You know,
but those would be, I guess, like a team like Creighton would have Kalkbrenner. But
I'll say this again: they got the best point guard in the country, and even when I was talking to a lawyer about this, he was like, I think Braden's a 2-5 point guard in the country, and he even admitted he's like Kolek's one.
He saw him. He gave him 22. They got
I mean, listen, you got Kolek and Cam Jones. That's a hell.
No, the guards can go. Like they have guys that can play. I like Marquette's team.
Yeah,
I
would go Marquette 4. I would go Houston 5 for me.
But I will say, like, Marquette gets manhandled at Wisconsin, and the Purdue game was
rivalry.
Close.
But no, that's a rivalry.
And it was a big-time atmosphere.
Right.
I do worry about them on the glass and with really good bets.
I'm with you. So, for me, it's Purdue, Arizona, UConn, Marquette, Houston. That's my 5. Those are the 5 I feel pretty good about. If you said, you know, gun to my head, here are the 5 teams that can win 6 straight. I am not putting Kansas in that conversation, which is insane. I know, because of Bill Self, because I really like their players. I just, again, if you don't have shooting, I don't think you can win six straight.
Yeah. How well did Arturo Morris shoot it last year?
Not great. He's not a
shooter. He's an athlete, right?
He was never a shooter. Now, I think what Bill thought he could get out of Arturo was, you know, his athleticism and speed. They don't have El Marco can go. Harris can go. Like, they've got good speed, but on the bench,
he was a guy that stood out on a team full of athletes at Texas with his.
Yeah, I mean, they have good speed, but they don't have, like, Blaze. And Arturo could have created some stuff on the defensive end. That's the other thing they're not doing as much of. And, again, it's hard because, you know, you have Hunter defensively. You know,
you're limited to how you can guard pick and roll. And, correct. You know, your guards have got to really contain the bounce because you don't have someone lurking back there to clean it up.
All right. Give me, and I know neither one of us saw a ton of these games because I was working. You were sort of working. I don't know what the hell you were doing. I mean, you know.
I was surprised they didn't put you on the Jumbotron at Banker's Life.
Did you see my tweet? They put you in the.
Yeah. You're so full of it.
There were a few scattering of boos there. There were a few boos.
The Arizona fans were booing me or the Purdue fans?
No, I think it was the Purdue fans. I think they were booing how much money you stole from the program back in the day by 8 years.
What, surgeries or what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. All the medical bills.
Luckily, insurance covers that, Jeff.
The biggest surprise of yesterday for me was
Michigan State?
No, it was Kentucky beating Carolina. What? It was Kentucky beating Carolina. Yeah, here's why. Baylor
Michigan State was up 30 on Baylor.
Fine, they pounded him, but Baylor hadn't really played anybody. Like they beat Auburn the first game in a neutral.
Did you watch Michigan State play the last four games?
I have.
I understand that's a good win for Kentucky, but
hell of a win.
That cannot be a bigger surprise than Baylor down 30 points with 18 minutes left in that game.
The score was shocking. Yes.
Yes, that's the point of what a surprise is.
I'm just shocked that a young Kentucky team, a neutral court in Atlanta, comes away with a win against a veteran Carolina team. Like I did not see that one coming. And I did see the Michigan State win coming. I did not see the plastering. But think about it. In all fairness, like, you don't think Izzo had those dudes ready? Like, you guys,
I watched them. I watched them look very unready against Wisconsin and look pretty unready at times against Nebraska and pretty unready against James Madison. So, no, I even with Coach Izzo being the guy that's pulling the strings there, I did not know what to expect with Michigan State.
Yeah, well, now it'll be interesting to see if they can get it going. Listen, yeah. I had a Big Ten coach, I'm not going to throw him under the bus, call me last night and say, is it still the Little Ten? Is it still, because I've called them Little Ten lately. And they had a hell of a day, right? I mean, think about it. Michigan State.
Ohio State beat UCLA.
Yep.
There was one game the Indiana game was the one that could have made it like.
Right. But they had a really good day for the most part. Even Indiana. Listen, I
thought they acquitted themselves well, honestly.
Correct.
I mean, they need to finish the deal, but
they can build on that. They can build on that. They don't, you know, listen, now again, that is a missed opportunity in that if you're
that would be the bad thing about it. You put yourself in position.
Correct. Because at the end of the season, if they're right on the bubble, you're saying, like, listen, with that win, they're not even close to on the bubble. Like, that takes you from a first four out to like a 10 seed.
Yeah,
that's what that win does. And now you've got limited opportunities in the Big Ten. I saw Illinois today, Rob, and they played Colgate. And you've seen Illinois. How many times have you seen them in person? A couple times.
I mean, I did the Kansas game, and I watched the game today.
Listen, to me, they didn't play. They played like garbage in the second half. They were really bad. They got bored in the second half. But I will say this, like, man, Terrence Shannon, and I spent a bunch of time with him after the game too. Like, that dude, he's so self-aware, and he's playing at such a high level defensively. Yeah. Defensively. He had 5 blocks today, and he played first half. It was about as good an overall half as I've seen anybody play this year. Like, he was just – he's playing with such, like, fire and aggressiveness. and making shots when he needs to from three. He might have forced one or two, but for the most part,
like 40, right?
Yeah.
He didn't. I think he's 40%.
Higher. I think it's even higher than that.
Yeah.
But like defensively, Rob, he is unbelievable so far this year. Like he, and again, self-aware to where, as he said to me, he was like, listen, I know I wasn't consistent last year. I knew NBA guys told me, but I knew I did not have a great year last year. And I'm like, whoa. Like, how many kids are going to say that after being first team all league?
Yeah, there's not many.
And he said, he goes, I knew I wasn't a good leader. Like, I have to be a good leader. And he's like, the ultimate, I don't know how much time he spent around him. Always smiling. Always.
Yeah, he's awesome. Soft-spoken, but he's always been great. He's always been great to be around.
He's comfortable.
I do kind of worry a little bit about Illinois with some of the things we saw last year. It's not as extreme, but they are once again so good at scoring it inside the arc, and they're just average at shooting the ball from the perimeter from a percentage standpoint, yet they shoot, like the Tennessee game, they shot a lot of threes. And I know, I think I read where Brad Underwood said that he, for the most part, liked their shot selection in for the most part of the season, but man, when you've got some of these guys and you can post a mask and, you know, you've got some of these weapons. And I still think, even watching today's game, I'm watching Coleman Hawkins. I know he's been hurt. I swear he shoots when he shouldn't and he doesn't shoot when he should. Like, he if he's open, he like head fakes and passes. It's just like, I don't understand why he passes on the shots that he does, but then takes the ones that he shoots. I don't know. He's a fascinating player because he is. There's no doubting his talent.
Yeah.
But sometimes his production has not maybe matched what that talent is.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I like this team because I think they have one of the top five players in the country in Terrence Shannon. I think he can go get his. And in transition, he's a freak right now.
That's another late pick by GM Hummel, who just got value in the later rounds.
That was a great pick. It's a great pick.
And they've been.
I mean, after your crappy year last year. No, most people would have fired you as GM after last year, by the way.
Here's
you wouldn't
the thing.
Have got another chance.
That was a learning experience, and I will never been like make the, those mistakes again.
Who's the guy? The Chargers? Did the Chargers just fire their GM? That's basically who you are.
I think, too, Illinois is guarding, man. They were like you said, not great in the second half, but on the season, they've really guarded.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're the number two team in the Big Ten. I'm not sure there will be a number two team in the Big Ten this year.
I think they are right now.
I think they are today. But again,
I think if you're,
I don't think it's going to be like a little bit of a revolving door between teams.
No, it could. I mean, Wisconsin could certainly be in that discussion. Ohio State could be in that discussion. I suppose Michigan State could still be in that conversation if they do right the ship. The Northwestern thing, that was pretty disappointing. You can't lose to Chicago State and erase your win over the number one team in the
Unbelievable.
Country. Unbelievable. That was shocking. That was a shocking loss.
No, listen, it shouldn't happen. And give Gerald Gillian a lot of credit from Chicago State for pulling off that win.
No doubt.
But no, that can't happen if you're Northwestern because, again, those are the ones that eventually they get you. Those are the ones that get you and you don't end up getting in the NCAA tournament. What else you want to talk about? Anything else?
I just look forward to seeing you rocking the jersey, man. It's going to be great.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to order it. I got to get it in.
Now you better express shipping that thing.
I got to hit the gym now.
I saw where I tweeted that photo of the jersey that was $100.
Yeah.
And I think I tweeted with it that I hope shipping is $300. And some guy was like, hey, moron, it says that shipping is like $20 on it. And said that in the photo.
I'm glad you got a hey moron because I've gotten a lot of hey morons.
I'm just saying, we need the integrity of this podcast to stay high. And with the predictions you make, we are just screwing ourselves.
I've made great predictions. I just stood by my alma mater here. That's all I did. It's all I did here.
Well, that was probably one of your, taking Arizona in that game was one of the more actually not brain dead ones that you've done because some of these, like St. Mary's, the Final Four, Michigan State in the same discussion as Purdue. I can't. They were 11-8 last year.
Were you happy to see Juwan Howard back in the main chair after he got cleared? He got cleared of everything, which was the medical stuff cleared, cleared of any major wrongdoing. So he kind of took over after, you know, I don't know what you call it, what he was doing before that, sitting on the bench. And again, they started off well here in his return, which is good to see. My question to you, Rob, is what does Juwan Howard need to do this year to kind of have some more, well, to be able to get another year next year? You know, again, because frankly, they underachieved greatly last year. They underachieved 2 years ago in the regular season, but obviously made a Sweet 16. This year, if they don't get to the tournament again, does he get one more year? If he doesn't make the tournament 2 years in a row, he's still one of their own.
That's where I come back to. Yeah. This is really hard when you are one of the best players to ever play there.
Yeah.
Much like it would be hard with Penny Hardaway, and it would be hard with Matt Painter. I mean,
how about how it
plays
was
at that school?
All you have to do, Rob, is look at how long it took them to fire Patrick Ewing. Remember? I mean, he had to lose like 100 straight games.
100?
There's a lot of games.
He didn't lose 100. I think that he would get another year just because of – now, maybe he wants to go back to the NBA. I have no idea. But these are hard deals when you've got the school you played for and you're the head coach and it goes south. And it's – you always think – it's going to be good. Like everyone thought with Chris Mullin going to St. John, great. You know, he's going to come home like when he played. And I just think for players, and I've thought about this for myself because I've never coached ever outside of like coaching the 3-on-3 team. If that doesn't even count. Cause you do nothing in game. It's all like scouting. It's all like prep, right?
You don't say anything during the game. Zero.
It's like tennis. You get penalized.
What? You can't get any.
Think of it. It's like tennis. I mean, the Serbians are like yelling in Serbian.
Really?
Like they get away. I feel like the other countries now, some of the officials are from Europe and they know, but some countries get away with more. But yeah, they watch the coaches' boxes and you can't even yell out plays. I mean,
no hand signals.
You would get in trouble for that. You could get kicked out.
I feel like in tennis, they're doing something. I mean, they keep looking up to the box.
And I think they've changed it, actually. But my point was...
We need to ask Glenn Hummel. We need to get Glenn Hummel on here to find out exactly what's going on there.
Well, yeah, he could tell you that.
I know he
could. My point of getting to there was that players don't understand. And Juwan was a different case because he was an assistant for Pat Riley, and he was on their staff, and he coached. But when players are playing... the awareness of what your coaches and the video coordinators and all the people that are preparing the game plans, what they are doing is zero. Because the players, especially like let's say in pro basketball, you'd get there. If you're practicing at 10, you'd show up at 8:30, eat breakfast, maybe go lift weights, practice at 10, be done by 11:15, 11:20, 11:30. If you're really a long practice in pro basketball, at least in the NBA. Get shots up. If you're not playing, maybe play some 2-on-2, eat lunch, and you'd be out of there. And you think that everybody else is doing that same thing. Like, you really believe that? Like, I think everybody else just goes home too. They don't. And I just, you know, it's always amazing to me too, just because you are a really good player doesn't mean that you actually know why things are happening. You might just be out there and like, you have good instincts and you're kind of like rolling with it,
right?
Or you're just so supremely talented. But it is fascinating how oblivious players are to what their coaches and staffs are actually doing.
All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up because I know you're hungover. You look hungover. You sound hungover.
No, I'm just it was a rough night. I called two games yesterday. You just sat there.
Oh, yeah, you called the Ball State-Indiana State game too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of us work, Jeff. Some
Josh Schertz, Michael Lewis, that's a hell of a coaching matchup.
I like Michael Lewis, and I like Josh Schertz, too. I don't know him as well as Michael, but Michael is the man. He's
funny,
a fiery guy.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah. I got to see my man Ben Botts, Indiana All-Stars, 07. Let's go.
All right, listen, get some rest. I know you need it. Next time when you get after it in Indy, don't call me at 2:05 or 2:10 in the morning, whatever.
You said you wanted to hang out.
Well, I did. But just not with you at 2:05, 2:10 in the morning. Maybe at, 11 o'clock at night, have a nice dinner or something like that. I wasn't invited to dinner.
Yeah, we didn't want to. Well, you had to work. You said you had a show.
I did. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodman and Hummel, thanks for joining us. And again, if anybody's got a cheaper jersey than $26.85 for the black Hummel jersey and it's spelled correctly, let me know. Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.